I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Braves find a way to get it done in Chi-Town. They will now head home to take on the Cubs over the next three games, and then they'll be home over the weekend against Miami. But, ooh, this was close. I got to tell you, whenever Vizcaino, and he wasn't out there today, but when Vizcaino's out on the hill, man, to close games, I'm a little nervous.
Well, and I think we're nervous anytime it's A.J. Minter or Vizcaino. I'm with you, brother, or anybody from the bullpen. We're still not trusting them 100%.
No.
But the Braves have got the best record in the National League right now, coming off that great road trip down in Florida. And this was that makeup game when it was absolutely miserable up in Chi-Town. Ender Inciarte makes a great diving grab. He doubles up Ben Zobrist at first today, Carl. So many cool things. Joey Bats goes yard. But Albies with a solo shot. If we were watching this game here in studio, they had a chance, the Braves did, with the bases loaded, to blow this game open in the first, but they couldn't get it done. And then it got dramatic.
It did. Well, bases loaded. A.J. Minter's trying to get out of the inning. He gives up two hits, but he finally gets out of the inning.
But he hit a guy to walk in a run. Batman to walk in a run.
So it was 6-4. That made it 6-5, and you're still a little bit on edge. At least we were in here going, but they make it happen, man.
Carl actually made those same noises.
Well, here's the deal, though, Mike. Are you starting to buy into what's going on?
Hey, here's the problem. Liberty Media, I mean, we know we got a little ways to go before someone's going to have to make you pull out the checkbook. But this is a team which is right now got the best record in baseball. We're getting close to Memorial Day. Okay, we keep coming up to these benchmarks, right?
Right.
Go get some clothes. I mean, go beef up the bullpen. Go find a legitimate setup, man, and really, you know, let's beef this thing up. Again, if you keep on rolling. You and I have said the magic number is, what, two or three games within the wild card by, let's say, the trade deadline, okay? How's that for you? Well, right now, this team looks like one of the most exciting teams in baseball. But the pitching has got to be better because you can't trust any of these guys once the starting pitching gets knocked out of the box.
Well, and that was today. I mean, Minter saves, you know, gets in there and gets it done. But I was a little bit on edge. But the Braves win. That's the good news. And we'll see what they do against the Cubs. Cubs, again, this will be a good test for them over the next three or four days. You win this series. I mean, if you haven't opened up eyes already and you're going, well, I mean, look at the schedule. Okay, it is what it is. But they are beating the teams they're supposed to. I think that was the impressive thing for me over the weekend.
Right.
Miami's not any good. We know that. That's a team you're supposed to beat up on.
But literally the best record in the National League, it's the Atlanta Braves. I mean, so we've all said, well, is it wait till Cobb 17, 18? Well, it could be 18. I mean, the good news is we're finally talking about these guys in a positive light because it's just an exciting brand of baseball because they're scoring a lot of runs.
Yeah, it is absolutely true. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. You're going to get a chance to hear from our new head basketball coach with the Atlanta Hawks. His name is Lloyd Pierce. He sat down with our midday guys, Rick and John. That's coming up at 6 o'clock. But right now, let's get to the top three at 6.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
All right, you just heard the Braves win, but let's talk about what happened last night on the pitch. Barco with the goal. Joseph Martinez with the goal. But, Mike, I thought there was, a little hooliganism going on out there. Some goons for Orlando.
Yeah, they're chippy, and we're in their head. I mean, that's one thing. Doug Robertson wrote about it. We heard Jason Longshore earlier today talking about it, who did the game with Mike Conti on the radio here on your home of the United, 92.9 The Game. But Orlando City, they talk a lot of nonsense. The fans are a bunch of jabronis. But there was nothing more comical than the Will Johnson dive. One of their attackers, he dives. He's not even made contact with LGP. He basically lifts his feet off the ground, drags his toes, and then goes down. The ref saw it for what it was, a total dive.
Yeah.
And then the guy proceeds to lose his mind, which gets all these drunken jabronis out there throwing bottles and cans of beer on the field.
Well, they're a class act.
Turned into a melee.
They're a class act. Orlando fans, as I said today on the Duke's Dump, blanket. And you can go check it out and see what I said. All right? United win 2-1. It was all about what we did in the first half.
Barco dribbling into the attacking third, played ahead to Garza in the left corner. Drive back into the middle. Barco! Score!
Hashtag watch Barco!
2-0 Atlanta United.
That is our own Mike Conte with the call, the voice of our Atlanta United. So, yeah, man, listen, coming back after what we saw against Kansas City, maybe you were going, all right, and we didn't have Brad Guzan in goal. You're like, all right, what's going to happen? We did know, and we learned this from Jason Longshore earlier, Khan was going to be available, right? We did know that. So he's in goal. I think things played out perfectly, and you said it. We are in their head because they were pressing.
Yeah, rain, and just nasty conditions. But and Barco did say, and this was in the AJC, the postgame, that he's feeling more and more comfortable in Tata's system. A great point from Longshore. Just be ruthless. Someone's got to take the shot. You know, where how many times you watch them, you know, they're moving the ball, like, just shoot it, man. Well, the ball was basically coming between Almiron and Barco took the shot. It was a thing of beauty. You got the penalty kick with Joseph Martinez. Obviously, he's able to just drop that. So it's a team which was red hot, and you stopped them cold. Now it's Red Bulls coming to town against us and Mercedes-Benz on Sunday.
All right, we'll see where that goes. Meanwhile, story number two, and it's been number one all day, but we've been talking about it. You'll hear that exclusive interview with our new head basketball coach coming up here in less than 10 minutes. But Travis Link's our general manager. For me, the pressure's on Travis to deliver the pieces to our new head coach. But he talked about Pierce being a perfect fit.
With his presence, his ability to connect players, and his ability to develop young players. And then, you know, the time he spent in Philadelphia with a team that really took rebuilding to a whole new level, we thought it was a perfect fit for the situation that we're going to be in the next couple of years.
Really cool. Travis took up juggling. He was juggling three bowling pins while he was having that interview, Carl.
He seemed a little winded. Apparently, he was on the treadmill earlier this morning. But listen, for everyone who has no idea about how you should feel about this hire, that's okay. I don't think that you should be feeling any kind of way except giving him an opportunity to prove himself, Mike. And let's see where this thing goes. Outside of that, I can't tell you if it's a good hire or a bad hire. What I do know in basketball circles, this guy's well-respected. He's paid his dues. He checks all the boxes. We will see where it goes. You'll hear the interview coming up with Rick and John in just a few minutes. Hey, meanwhile, as we talk about the NBA, the playoffs, man. Celtics took a 1-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. 108-83 win. You asked me earlier what happened with LeBron.
Can we hear LeBron's feel-out explanation? Because we've had a lot of fun with this now. LeBron.
We ran him the first possession. We ran him down all the way to 2 on the shot clock. Marcus Morris missed a jump shot, followed it up. They got a dunk. We came back down. We ran a set for Jordan Clarkson, and he came off and missed it. They rebounded it, and we came back on the defensive end, and we got a stop. They took it out on the sideline. Jason Tatum took the ball out, threw it to Marcus Smart in the short corner. He made a three. We come back down, miss another shot, and then Tatum came down and went 94 feet, did a Euro step, and made a right-hand layup timeout. There you go.
Now, did he have the final play-by-play, the minutes right in front of him, or that was just all off the top of his head?
He's literally sitting there. I retweeted it yesterday. I think AT sent it to me. And, you know, they're basically, well, LeBron, what went wrong? What happened? So he lays out that sequence, basically saying that was the game.
Now, Arthur Trish, an avid Michael Jordan fan, says he was able to have photographic memory of those plays. So they all happened in front of him.
Oh, that's cold-blooded. Meanwhile, LeBron did say that game one is a fill-out game, Mike.
I've seen every coverage, pretty much. And for me, game one has always been a fill-out game for me.
See?
If you ever followed my history, so I got to a good sense of the way they played me today and you know, and how I play going into game two.
Tell him, LeBron.
Yeah, I told my assistant coach, Tyronn Lue, that we're going to feel this one out. I'm going to go for 15. We're going to give these guys a false sense of security by letting them get one game up on us at home. Not that this is against back against the wall and it being down 2-0 against the Celtics. I like to feel out my opponent, see how they're coming at me, and then I'll figure it out.
He's played, by the way, 50 more playoff games than Michael Jordan. 50. I'm just letting you know, AT. We'll see where the series goes. Tonight, it's the Western Conference Finals. Who you like, man? Rockets or Warriors?
Well, I think if you are the Rockets and they are the home team, they got to win one. Even the Warriors, you know, you want to split on the road. Warriors can't, Rockets, I should, can't come out and get beat badly, right? And I don't expect that to be the case. Rockets are a 1 or 1.5 point favorite at home, as they should be. Which Harden do you get? Do you get flaky Harden or do you get MVP caliber Harden? Does Chris Paul have to kind of ride this out? Because the Rockets got to prove it. You got to prove it because you haven't been able to do it in the past.
Yeah, I need to see. And by the way, you did mention this to me while we were talking about that betting, law, or should I say Supreme Court
decision. Allowing us to bet. Yeah.
Yeah, you were telling me the Rockets are favored tonight?
1.5 point favorite.
Wow. I'm a little surprised at that. I am. You want to put something on it? I'm sorry. It is Dukes and Bell.
I'm going to double check right now. See, right now, guys, I'm going to VegasInsider.com. Just for pretend state, just imagine it's being...
Well, that's blocked on our website, isn't it, here at the job?
I got my means. Anyway, if you guys would go to Georgia Lottery Sports, just think of the fun right now. You could look this up right now, Carl, and go, well, look at that. Houston, the home team, is a 1.5-point favorite. I might want to put $10 on that.
You sound like you already did. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
office. You know, the atmosphere in this office is changing.
Oh, it's tense. There's a tension here, and I blame Sean, the underboss. He's created the situation.
O-F-F-I-C-E. Text it right now to 72881 for your chance to win.
Office. Always like the American version more than the British version. Office. O-F-F-I-C-E. Text office, guys, to 72881. And who knows? You might get the call from our guys at the radio station. You got a shot to win that $1,000 from 92.9 The Game.
All right, we got our game winner coming up in about 30 minutes. As we've been talking about what's going on with the headlines, we have to mention Tiger Woods as story number three tonight, Mike, because he didn't win. Webb Simpson won. He played an amazing 4 days of golf and put himself in position to really make some mistakes on the final day, which he did. But Tiger was 14 strokes back, Mike. He was within 4 strokes of tying this thing up.
And that's the thing with Tiger. We're all looking for a sign. You know, the first things first, make 4 rounds. Well, he's doing that. Now compete. We saw that on the West Coast swing where Tiger is making some big shots. Saw it down in Florida in the Valspar. But now Tiger goes 65 and 69. Now, he actually had a chance. He missed so many putts that he'd been making in his prime. So that's something he's going to have to dial in. There were some times where he was off the green, but his short game was solid. He was chipping to where he was in a position to make those putts, just couldn't get the putts to drop. Webb Simpson talked about hearing the crowd reaction ahead of him, knowing that Tiger was doing some special stuff. But can this translate to a victory in a major? You got Shinnecock in Southampton, Shinnecock Hills, and then you've got Carnoustie for the British Open. I mean, look, Tiger in his prime, of course, but Tiger, this one, 2.0, we'll have to wait and see. But certainly all indicators are he's getting his stuff together.
No, I agree. The par 4, 14, 354-yard drive. He had 111 yards to the hole, and he bogeys it. And to me, that right. was the shot because he was 6 back with 4 to play.
He had a shot.
He had a shot. Right there, that was the one where if you birdie that 111 yards out, you put yourself in position, who knows where this thing goes.
Webb Simpson hadn't won in years. He's a former U.S. Open champion. Remember, he goes in the water on 18, so he gets a little interesting. There could have been some real drama there, but either way, the TV numbers are certainly going to be up from last year because Tiger was a factor on Saturday and Sunday.
All right, man. Want to hear from you guys. You can always text the show, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We invite you to follow us across all social media platforms. The radio station, 92.9 The Game. That's on the gram. That's on Facebook. Like us if you've not already done so. And on the Twitter. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes and follow the radio show with Dukes and Bell, 929.
Got our Vision Computer poll question asking you guys, if Georgia put sports gambling on the books, would you partake? Over 85% of our audience, nearly 500 respondents, say, yeah, man, they want a piece of that action. So you can vote yourself. You can go to Mike Bell, ATL, and our Vision Computer poll. Again, guys, the average hold time less than 15 seconds when you go to Vision Computers.
The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, great weekend, man. United gets it done. Braves keep on trucking. Your first place, Atlanta Braves. Falcons put the rookies through the paces. And we got a new headband for the Hawks, Dukes.
Yeah, Lloyd Pierce introduced today at the Hawks presser. And then our guys, Rick and John, had a chance to sit down with him. We got our game winner coming up, but the first thing they asked him was, why was this the right job for you?
You know, I think timing's everything. And, you know, I've told a few people, and I spoke with one of the guys that called me from Philadelphia as soon as I got the job with Joel Embiid. And the guy I spent a lot of time with, primarily when he was hurt, and trying to, you know, build a relationship, keep him focused, try and, you know, present his opportunities that when they came, they were going to come quick. He just had to be patient, and he couldn't skip steps. And his health was the most important thing. And that's the process. That's really what the process was about. It was not skipping steps. It was trying to be patient and working your way into a position where you could grow. And then when you were there, you were ready for that moment. And obviously you guys all saw a lot of what that moment was for Philadelphia this year. And so nothing changes with me. I'm part of the process as well. I went to Philadelphia 5 years ago with an opportunity to move to the front of the bench And 3 years ago, Coach Brown empowered me to run our defense. And when I say empowered, he gave me carte blanche of what we were doing. And, you know, the visual, the perception of what my role was in Philadelphia just changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. And that's the process. And so this job is right for me because the timing was right. You know, we've advanced to a different stage in Philadelphia after 5 years. And Philly's fine. They're going to be fine for years to come. Now I got to worry about how to deal with those guys. But this is a new challenge, and this is a new step in my journey moving forward. And so, and I accepted the responsibility. It is a tremendous responsibility, but I welcome it with open arms, and I'm excited.
Coach, we obviously cover the NFL a lot, and the correlation from assistant coach taking that next step to the head coaching level. At the NFL, I feel we get to know the assistants a little better. We blame the OC. We blame the DC.
Right.
In the NBA, we don't get to know you guys as well. You're the guys to the right of the bench with the chalkboard and whatnot. Where I got to know you was the ringing endorsement from all the players around this league. Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Steph Curry. What did you do to earn that respect from those guys?
I used it in the press conference, and the phrase I said was sweat equity. You know, I've known Steph for a long time, and it was through the Nike camps when he was in college in Davidson. And, you know, those camps, it's player development. You're just working with guys. You're trying to get them better. When I got hired with the Warriors, he was there, and it was on an off day, and he happened to be in the building. And the first thing he said, oh, man, it's great to see a familiar face around here. So I think instantly, and this is before my career really advanced, that was our connection. He remembered us working together. You know, the Dwayne Wade was amazing because I've never coached Dwayne. And, you know, when I was with Cleveland and even after, I spent a lot of time with LeBron. And, you know, if LeBron tweets something, I think people get it because we've had a longer relationship, and he and I have spent a lot of time together. He trusted me to work with him on an individual basis while I was at Cleveland and even afterwards. And along those lines, I've worked with Chris Paul, and I've worked with Dwayne Wade, and I've worked with the guys that he's close with, Carmelo Anthony. So the Dwayne Wade endorsement was really from, you know, the limited time, probably because he saw me with LeBron, but he also worked with us. And, you know, just having finished in the series with him in the first round. And, you know, he's seen my growth as a coach from the times we're in Miami running on the beach and working out and going to local rec gyms and getting some workouts in to now game planning against him in a playoff series. I think, you know, those guys are all students of the games, and they respect guys that have put in the work as well.
You're going to hear a lot of this voice for years to come here in Atlanta. Lloyd Pierce, he's the new head coach of our Atlanta Hawks, and I thought it was extraordinary that Robert Covington, who just saw his season come to an end, is here. He's one of the developmental guys that you worked with. He's on a 4-year, $62 million contract right now. Amen to Robert Covington coming down here and showing you that love. Now, Travis Schlenk has shown you love as well, Coach, and you go back 10-plus years with him. Describe your relationship with Travis.
Yeah, so Travis and I worked together in Golden State, and I was only there a year, and Travis had been there and continued to stay there even after that. So the relationship started, it was just a short year. But I think when you're in a working environment with anyone, you get to know their strengths and you get to see them on a day-to-day basis and how they operate. You get to see their personalities as well. Travis puts his head down. He's very unassuming. He's not going to be the most vocal or the most energetic. He's going to do his job. And I think he probably respects that on the flip side. And the time that I was there, that's what my job has always been. You know, it's not about me. It's about us. And it's about us trying to get better. And from afar, when you see other people that are like that and share those similar traits, there's a sense of, you know, I like that. I respect that. And I think that's where all of this was born.
Now, you talked about Philadelphia and the process, and you've seen the fruits of the labor, making it to the playoffs, making it to the second round. And, yeah, with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, they're going to be a great team for a long time to come. How does Atlanta, with the rebuild that's going on right now, mirror what Philadelphia did?
Yeah, you know, I think it's different, and everyone uses the word rebuild anytime you have young talent. And, you know, I'll say this, everyone's window is short, and some are able to extend that window for a long period of time. And for the most part, when you have that window, you have to capitalize on it. And, you know, when you don't, you have to find ways to grow and develop. And so right now, we need to find ways to grow and develop. I wouldn't say this is a rebuild. I think it's just an opportunity to look at our roster, look at our current situation, and say, how do we grow and develop this without skipping steps? There are some young pieces that are on this roster that are pretty good. Mm-hmm. And we really didn't have that in Philadelphia 5 years ago. So there's some differences. There's some similarities. I like who we have. I look forward to who we're adding to the roster in this upcoming draft. And then I accept the challenge of moving forward, trying to grow and develop what's in front of me. My job as a coach is to coach the guys that are on the floor, and that's the only thing I need to worry about.
Coach Lloyd Pierce joining your boys, Rick and John, here on the home of the Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I want to talk about three players in specific, Schroeder, Prince, and Collins. You've seen them, you've scouted them, and now they're yours. Can you just pinpoint one thing for each guy, like an area of improvement that you can help develop?
Yeah, so I'll start with John Collins. You know, and just studying him, you know, unbelievable athlete, and that's what he is, and that's what we know. Now, what we know about the game is there's a three-point line that's involved, and you're starting to see more players develop that skill. You know, John, 72% of his shots last year were at the rim, 5% of his shots were threes, and he actually shot on average from the three-point line. How do we increase that? How do we increase the volume? How do we increase the percentage? How do we continue to develop it? It's a sense of a repetition that he needs, a sense of comfort. He probably has never been – he's been a great athlete his entire life. This is something new, so – you know, development is trying to find areas where you can grow. And that, to me, that's the immediate area where he can grow. He can really become an excellent player and expand his game. You know, you go the other way and you look at Torian. And Torian shot above average from the three-point line. And, you know, I didn't know that about him when he was coming out of Baylor. I knew toughness. I knew athleticism. I knew a guy that can get to the rim and finish. And here he is shooting above average from the three-point line. So we want to find ways where we continue with that. And then we see what else is there. What else can he do with the basketball? Can he expand his role a little bit more? Can he become a stretch four? Can he be a guy that can facilitate and handle the basketball as well? So there's some excitement there, but really he's already started his niche a little bit. And then a guy like Dennis, who we all know is a very capable NBA player, you know, one of the quickest guards that's in the league, can get to the rim. You know, we played him earlier this year, our first game in Philadelphia, and I remember the next day showing an edit to our team. He blew by about seven of our different defenders. We tried four or five different guys on him, and they were all right-hand layups to the basket. So that's an easy skill for him. You know, the obvious is that three-point shot. You know, just trying to increase that percentage. Him having a comfort and not pass up shots. You know, he's going to be out. We know as we talk about blow bys, he can get to the rim with his quickness. His team start to sag off of him. Can he just go ahead and take the shot, take it with confidence and shoot it at a higher percentage?
Coach, you talked about defense in the press conference. You said you'd have guys running defensive drills today.
You want to get in one right now?
I'm out of shape. Okay. No. Actually, it would probably
help. 20 LBs,
though. I'm down 20.
Coach, he's down 20 LBs.
But you got six fouls.
I do.
There you go.
And I will foul the heck out of you.
Hey, we got to know who your NFL team is. We were debating this earlier. Who's your NFL team?
Santa Clara, California. Be careful,
Coach.
Are you a Niner or a Raider?
Don't say New England.
Or New Orleans.
I'm in Atlanta now, right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
You can say who your team is going on.
You can keep it real. Just don't say the Patriots.
Well, if we're going to keep it real, I'm a Raider fan, true.
I told you. He said Niners. I said Raiders.
There's no chance. No chance.
Now, will you stay?
I might have silver and black underneath right there.
Will you stay a Raiders fan when they go to Vegas?
Without a doubt.
Okay.
Without a doubt. I've been a Raider fan my entire life. You know, but we're having a baby, my wife and I, in August.
Congratulations.
She said, if we have a boy, you know, what are you doing? I said, Marcus Allen. What are you talking about?
Now, did you win that by any chance? The wife
allowed? No, it's not going to happen. But, you know, I've been a Raider fan my entire life and had an opportunity to see them in the Super Bowl when it was in San Diego. Wasn't a very pleasant experience, but that was my team. And, you know, I get that question all the time. Are you going to remain a Raider fan when they move to Vegas? And I'll probably get it even more. This is the first time it's been presented, just being here in Atlanta. But, yeah, that's no chance am I a Niner fan.
So before we let you go, John did have an R&B question that he had to ask.
Now we're talking.
I'm a music guy. Rick,
now we're talking.
Rick is not an R&B fan.
I'm a rock and roll guy.
Yep. I'm an old school player, Earth, Wind and Fire, yep. Teddy P. What's your favorite R&B group or CD to go to when it's that time?
Wow. Group New Edition.
Okay, nice.
That's my era.
That's the one with Bobby
80s.
Brown, Rick.
Got you.
There's a little issue I'm hearing about New Edition in the news breaking up right now, but I grew up a New Edition fan. You know, ironically, and I just shared the story, my mom was a huge Anita Baker fan. It was Anita Baker, Luther Vandross, Jeffrey Osborne. Nice. So this was an unbelievable opportunity for me, and Anita was great last night because she talked about, she told my mom, she said, I know you spoiled these kids and you forced them to listen to my music as they were kids, and you know, you don't understand it at the time, but it's all I listen to when I need some relaxation. I throw on CeCe Winans when I'm at home, and I throw on Anita Baker, and her voice is soothing, it's comforting. I didn't know she had as much energy as she would have at the concert, but that's my go-to.
Love it. Coach, it is fantastic to see you again and, yep. and have you meet all these other now family members here at 92.9 The Game. I couldn't be happier for you, man. You have worked your butt off to get here, and now you're the head coach. You've got one of 30 jobs in the world. So very, very happy for you. And we know it's a busy week going to Chicago and all this stuff, and hopefully we can get that number one pick tomorrow night.
I hope so. ATL, I'm ready.
And it's our new man, Lloyd Pierce, talking to the midday guys. They were up there at the arena for the big announcement today as he talked about his defensive philosophy. And again, sounds like a fun guy, guy's guy. Did play at Santa Clara, as we talked about. And now after watching the Sixers get back to being, you know, a team that's relevant in the NBA, he's going to try to do the same with our Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, listen, I think, you know, the demeanor, the tenor, everything is perfect with Lloyd Pierce. But the one thing we don't know is what he's going to be able to do with the talent, and you're hoping that he has the, you know, in 3 or 4 years, maybe we have the kind of talent that he has that he left in Philadelphia. And if that's the case, Mike, then maybe he's doing something really special. But I love the attitude and the approach, and that's all we can right now. Take it for what it is, and let's see where this thing goes. But tomorrow it starts, guys, with the draft lottery, and we'll be talking more about that tomorrow, about our chances. But we've got a 13% chance to get the first overall pick. It's not zero, but to Mike and I's point throughout the course of the season, we were hoping to lose as much as possible to create you know, a better percentage, but we're either going to have the first overall pick or, at worst, Mike, the seventh overall pick in the draft lottery.
That's a big swing there, man. As we said, the best we've had, two, was Marvin Williams recently. And I guess the best pick, is it true we had Dr. J's rights back in the day, but he went to the Nets in the ABA? Yeah, it sucks. But anyway, let's hope that it's going to be a one or a two or a three. Hey, man, Carl is hot. He does not like those Whiskey Tango mutants down there in Orlando City that were acting a fool, throwing junk on the field after their guy took a terrible dive. We did hear from a number of United fans that made the trip that they had enough of us in mass. And again, you always travel in packs if you go on the road, so they had no problem, unlike last time. But it seemed like a pretty dreadful place to watch a game.
Somebody's got to have your back, but here's the deal for me. The MLS is not going to do anything. We're going to do something about it.
You're going to take the law in your own hands?
I'm going to take the law into my own hands.
All right, big man. So what's the question tonight for the game winner?
Well, listen. We've all been places where it's been an awful experience as a fan. Whether you've traveled somewhere or you've experienced another fan base that came to your stadium, all right, with Orlando and their fans sucking the way they do, that's tonight's game winner.
They're just rotten people. Obviously, for me, it was last year in the divisional playoff round against Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial. I'll never, ever go back to Philly. Worst place to watch a game, college or pro, or maybe it was fans that made, as you said, the trip and sat behind you and you wanted to punch them in the head.
404-741-0929. That's tonight's game winner. It could have been at home with a fan base coming in and giving you trash, or you could have been on the road. Either or, it's tonight's game winner.
Falcons also signed defensive tackle. What was his name, God? Anyways, McClain. For a one-year deal worth over $4 million, he was with the Washington Redskins last season. And in the NBA, multiple outlets.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
That's an update that will live in infamy. A little Skippy, Jason Marks, getting after it on Friday. That guy. Hey, we were talking about it earlier. Orlando, yeah, I mean, why would you live in the middle of Florida unless you're a rich golfer? Don't understand it. I don't understand Orlando as a concept. Either live on the beach if you live in Florida, or I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand.
No, I don't either. As I've said, there's only two things that are good about Orlando, Disney and Universal. Outside of that, I have nothing good to say about the place.
There was a strip club. Hey, guys, so what's the worst place you ever watched a game or the fans that made your game experience viewing a real nightmare? Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got?
Well, I got two of them. The first one, of course, is the Saints being a Falcons fan. But if you ever did the Little League Part 1 of football thing in the state of Georgia, everybody knows you go to Central DeKalb, Those parents are the nastiest parents you ever want to put your eyes on. Nasty.
Wow.
Just nasty.
We'll have to check. We'll have to do some research on that.
Just filthy. Just disgusting.
Just wow, Paris getting me. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What do you got for us?
Hey, man, the worst place, I would have to say Tampa Bay.
Really? Because my feeling about Tampa Bay is it's never that crowded. You know what I mean? Like, you never really have to deal with a bigger crowd. You can always move around and get into another seat because there's plenty of them available.
Were they getting after you there? What happened, man? I'm curious to know.
I hung up on them.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I can answer that. Yeah, man. It was crazy, man. I threw a guy off the top deck. He got shish kebabbed on that pirate ship's top mast.
Okay, I was going to say, I wonder what sparked this thing.
No, I mean, I know that, yeah, there's some knuckleheads down there, too. But it's just, generally, it's never that crowded. You know, so you can always move around. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for a bad game day experience?
That's you.
You're on the air.
Well, he just had a bad game day experience right now.
Hey, man, we're going to give you 10 seconds. Why is he breathing heavy in the background?
I don't know.
Sir, pull your pants up. You're making a mockery of this whole thing. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's the worst game day experience for you on the road?
Hey, man.
Hey man.
All right, 1996, Birmingham, Alabama. I'm an Auburn fan.
Oof.
And my girlfriend got season tickets from an Alabama fan, so I had great seats. Auburn lost that game 24-23 with Sherman Alexander running the touchdown at the end.
Ooh.
I was... The fans were so freaking crazy. It was jumping in the back of my truck as I'm trying to leave the stadium because I had all my Auburn gear on. It was awful, guys. I would never go back.
At Legion Field?
Auburn beat them. I would never go back.
So that was Legion Field, the old days, before they went to home and homes?
Those old days in Legion Field. We had to park in people's parking lot because they didn't have parking. Right. I'm like, I ain't parking my truck here.
Yeah, it's not exactly the best neighborhood, Carl, to park your car one way or the other, whether you're an Auburn or a Tide fan.
Well, listen, and we know that rivalry, all right, can get violent at times. We've seen it, and it's unfortunate. You want it to be about the game, and then whoever wins or loses, you know, just take it and keep it moving. Yeah. But, man, I feel you on that.
Yeah. I told you about that Eagles game last year where we just couldn't get out of that stadium fast enough. I mean, you think after the guy, you beat the Falcons, you're going to the NFC Championship, we're making our way out. With my wife, as we're running out of the stadium in our Falcon gear, and the guy just, blank you, Atlanta! I mean, they just live to be miserable. Even when they're celebrating their parade, they can't help but be miserable people.
The funniest part about this is, and Mike's not lying, I got a phone call with about, I don't know, a minute, maybe 20 left in the game. And it may have been right after the game. And Mike's like, what happened? I said, what are you talking about? What's going on? And he's like, we just had to get out of the stadium.
Well, I had two things. I'm ready to scrap. The wife is like, don't do it. We had the camera dolly from, I guess it was NBC, literally right in front of me.
That's
I had seats on the goal line. And to this day, I had to go home and watch it. I had no idea what happened when Julio got mugged or fell down or whatever went down.
Yeah.
I didn't, like, what happened, man?
And I was like, Julio missed the play. He fell. Mike's like, damn it.
It's like the worst.
I got to get in this cab.
It's the worst. Hey, man, you're on the radio. I'm there. I'll never go back to Philly. I don't care, man. That would be $10 million a year. I would never work there either. You're on the radio, buddy. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I will say I'll keep going back as long as Tech keeps winning, but those ugly puppies over there in Athens, all that barking, so stupid.
Shots fired.
Yeah, man.
The Tech fans. Oh, by the way, and Tech fans, you've got to stop saying cheaters when a team gets penalized when you're playing at Bobby Dodd. It just doesn't sound really that good.
Well, they're going by the rules, Mike.
Cheaters. Who says that? Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Worst vibe for a road game or maybe game day experience.
Hey, man. Yeah, it was the Falcons-Dolphins game this past year for three reasons. Obviously, because we lost. Second reason, fans were not in their seats. They're just strolling around.
Yeah.
And the third reason, I fought a Dolphins fan.
Fought a Dolphins fan. Hey, dude, no joke. I moved out of my section in 120 because I got sick and tired of jawing with opposing fans. There was basically 10 rows of opposing fans every home game, so I took my action up to 300. I sold my tickets on the PSL thing.
Yeah.
And I moved up. I got a new PSL
market.
Yep, I got a new – the PSL marketplace, that's it. And I moved up to 300. You're still in 113, 115?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, man, to his point, the Dolphin fans, they were actually kind of D-bags. I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Worse than the Cowboy fans when we destroyed the Cowboys last year. They were Snapchatting and dancing videos and crip walking. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Well, we had him on the ropes, and then, of course, second half, the offensive line just folded under Ndamukong Suh, and we just, don't get me started. They're doing what?
I'm just saying, they were doing all kinds of stuff. We're trying to leave, and they're like, yeah, and I'm like, you're not from L.A., son.
Yeah, I was going to say. You're probably not even from Dade County. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Going up to that dump of the city called Cleveland, getting into it with those sweaty Cavs fans who've been relevant recently. And just and the best thing about Cleveland is when you're leaving Cleveland. That's all I got to say.
You ain't lying about that. I told you. Fly in, fly out.
No interest whatsoever in going up there. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. This guy was about 14 years old. It was LL Cool J, Public Enemy, and the Beastie Boys. And I was like maybe 7 or 8 people in the audience.
And hey, sir, I think we're talking about sporting events.
Did he say LL Cool J, Beastie Boys, and who? And he went to a concert?
I was just about to wrap things up, and Sam goes, take one more. Well, let me take one more right now, because I can't end on that note. What was the worst vibe for you on the road, man? What do you got?
Okay, I was at UGA the day Kevin Butler kicked his last field goal. We were playing Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking a girl as my first UGA game. We're tied up, late waning seconds. Kevin Butler hits a 63-yard field goal.
60-yard.
I've never had so many liquor bottles fall on me in my life. I went out stressing the girl.
Well, there you go. It's a tough break for you there, buddy.
Did he say what did he say about the girl? I missed that part.
I jumped. I was afraid he was going to go sideways with it, so I just dumped out.
Well, he was happy. He was happy Butler hit the field goal, like a lot of folks were.
I presume he was.
Hey, man, appreciate you participating. We got that game winner because of the way the Orlando fans were acting with United fans. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. We'll hand things over to Andy Bunker, see what he's got coming up tonight, and we'll tell you what's coming up tomorrow on Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.